Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville is a foundational work of political analysis that examines the young United States to understand what makes democratic society function and what might cause it to fail. Written after Tocqueville traveled to America in the early 19th century, the book blends observation, history, and theory to explore how institutions, laws, customs, and beliefs shape public life. Rather than praising or condemning democracy in a simple way, Tocqueville investigates its strengths and its dangers, including the pull of equality, the role of religion, the importance of local self-government, and the possibility of social conformity. He also compares American conditions to European patterns, especially those of France, to highlight how different starting points can lead to different outcomes. The result is both a portrait of America and a broader reflection on the democratic age, offering readers lasting tools for thinking about liberty, civic responsibility, and political culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, equality of conditions and the democratic social state. A central theme in democracy in America is the idea that modern societies are increasingly defined by equality of conditions, meaning that inherited rank matters less, and social mobility and similar legal status matter more. Tocqueville treats this shift as a deep social fact, not merely a political slogan, and he explores how it reshapes expectations, family life, work, and public debate. Equality can widen opportunity and reduce aristocratic domination, but it can also encourage people to focus narrowly on private well-being and to judge institutions mainly by whether they deliver material comfort. Tocqueville argues that democratic equality changes how people perceive authority, making them less willing to accept hierarchy yet more vulnerable to new forms of influence. When everyone feels socially similar, public opinion can become unusually powerful, and individuals may fear standing apart. The topic helps readers see democracy as a culture as much as a system of elections. Tocqueville also frames equality as a force with momentum, suggesting that resisting it is difficult, but guiding it toward liberty is possible. His analysis invites readers to ask how equality and freedom can reinforce each other rather than collide. Secondly, local government, associations, and practical self-rule. Tocqueville highlights local government and civic association as key engines of American democracy. He pays close attention to town life, juries, and community administration, because these are the places where citizens practice governing rather than merely talking about it. In his view, local participation teaches habits of cooperation, compromise, and responsibility, building political competence from the ground up. This local spirit also limits central power by giving people legitimate arenas to solve problems without waiting for distant officials. Alongside formal institutions, Tocqueville emphasizes voluntary associations, including civic, charitable, and political groups. He sees them as a democratic answer to the weakness of isolated individuals, since association allows people to pool effort, build shared norms, and resist domination by either the state or elite interests. The broader lesson is that healthy democracy depends on intermediary bodies that connect private life to public action. Tocqueville's discussion remains relevant for readers thinking about modern civil society, from neighborhood organizations to advocacy networks. He suggests that freedom is sustained not only by constitutional design but by everyday practices that train citizens to act together and to take ownership of common problems. Or thirdly, religion, morals, and the limits that protect liberty. One of Tocqueville's most discussed insights is the relationship he draws between religion, moral habits, and political freedom. He observes that American public life, while separating religious institutions from direct control of the state, is nevertheless shaped by religious belief and moral teaching. Tocqueville does not present religion merely as doctrine, but as a social force that influences behavior, reinforces trust, and sets boundaries on what people will tolerate in private and public conduct. In a democratic society where traditional hierarchy is weaker, shared moral constraints can prevent freedom from dissolving into selfishness or cynicism. Tocqueville also argues that religion can help people look beyond immediate material gain, countering a tendency he associates with democratic equality toward short-term comfort and narrow self-interest. At the same time, he is attentive to the risk of intolerance when belief becomes fused with social pressure. The topic, therefore, explores how moral culture can stabilize democratic life without replacing political debate. For contemporary readers, Tocqueville's approach encourages a careful distinction between the state enforcing belief and a society sustaining ethical norms through family, community, and institutions that cultivate responsibility. Fourthly, the tyranny of the majority and social conformity. Tocqueville famously warns that democracies face a distinctive danger he calls the tyranny of the majority. Unlike older forms of oppression, this tyranny can operate through public opinion, social stigma, and the expectation that respectable people will think alike. When the majority's views dominate cultural life, dissenters may not be jailed, yet they can be marginalized, discouraged from speaking, or pressured into silence. Tocqueville sees this as especially potent in democratic societies, because equality reduces the protective distance that elites or independent institutions once provided. The result can be intellectual conformity and a narrowing of debate, even when formal rights exist on paper. Tocqueville links this risk to the power of newspapers, parties, and public sentiment, noting that majorities can become confident in their own moral certainty. His analysis also points to the need for safeguards such as independent courts, decentralized authority, robust civic associations, and a culture that respects minority viewpoints. For readers today, the value of this topic lies in its psychological realism. It offers a way to think about how pressure spreads in mass societies, how unpopular ideas get filtered out, and why democratic freedom requires more than voting. It requires protections for disagreement and habits of toleration. Lastly, centralization, individualism, and the risk of soft despotism. Another major concern in democracy in America is the possibility that democratic citizens, focused on their private lives, will gradually accept an expansive central authority that manages society in exchange for security and convenience. Tocqueville describes a pattern in which individuals become isolated, withdraw from public engagement, and then look to the state to solve problems they no longer solve together. The danger is not always a dramatic dictatorship, but a softer form of despotism where administrative power grows, rules multiply, and citizens become dependent and passive. Tocqueville connects this to what he calls individualism, a tendency in democratic ages for people to prioritize family and close circles while losing interest in broader civic ties. Centralization can appear efficient, especially when societies want uniform solutions, but it can weaken local initiative, reduce responsibility, and shrink the space where freedom is practiced. Tocqueville's argument is a warning about trade-offs that still appear in modern debates over bureaucracy, welfare, regulation, and nationalized policy. The topic encourages readers to examine whether political systems empower citizens to act or train them to expect management. It also highlights Tocqueville's broader message that liberty requires active participation and strong local and civic institutions. In conclusion, Democracy in America is best suited for readers who want more than headlines about politics and instead want to understand how democratic societies actually work. Students of political science, history, law, and sociology will find it foundational, but it is equally valuable for engaged citizens, journalists, community leaders, and anyone trying to make sense of polarization, institutional trust, and civic decline. The book can benefit a reader's life by sharpening the ability to see beyond parties and personalities to the deeper forces that shape behavior, including equality, social norms, local participation, moral culture, and centralized administration. It helps readers evaluate public arguments with better questions, such as whether a proposed reform strengthens self-government or increases dependency, and whether public opinion is leaving real room for dissent. Compared with many modern books that focus on short-term events, Tocqueville offers a long view and a toolkit for interpreting patterns that repeat across decades. His work is worth buying because it combines rich observation with durable concepts, giving readers both a portrait of America and a framework for understanding democracy anywhere. Few comparable classics match its breadth, clarity, and continuing relevance. If you would like to support Alexis de Tocqueville, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.